Noon. We're thankful that each and every one of you is here and any visitors among us. We're thankful that you're here and it encourages us that you are here. You know, I got to tell you, just before I came over here, a little frustrated this afternoon working on a vehicle mechanical issue, and not a lot of progress was being made, and was doing it with my son, and I was like, I got to stop. I got to get ready. You know, I got to preach in just a little bit, and I barely had time to clean up, and it's kind of rushing, a little frustrated, and walking across the parking lot, just it made my day. Here comes little Cole running out to meet me in the parking lot. He's like, oh, I know my Bible verse. I know my Bible verse. And so out there in the wind, I don't want to say, well, hurry, let's get inside. It's cold out of here. And so in the wind and the cold in the parking lot, he gave me his memory verse for Colossians 1:10. So anyways, that just made my day. Now I'm happy and I'm fine. No more frustrations. So this evening, we're going to do our last lesson in a series from the book of Acts. And, you know, you heard it in our scripture reading, but just a few thoughts here before we get into the text. You know, growing up, I've always, and even in adulthood, heard phrases such as, you know, life's tough and then you die, right? Nothing's certain in life but death and taxes. Now, usually it's kind of said in jest, but what was meant in that, when people say that, what they mean is, you know, life's not fair. It's just not fair, and if you expect fairness in this life, you're just fooling yourself. You know, people, they sometimes say, you know, things like no good deed goes unpunished, right? We've all heard phrases like that, and it kind of carries a similar cynical thought. But the truth is, you know, life's not fair, but, you know, fair according to whose standards? I think that's a good question to ask. You see, it's not easy when life is not fair. You know, when I look back at my life and, you know, look back at the things that I've complained about in my life, you know, complaining I got to spend my Sunday afternoon, you know, working on a car that's not even mine. Or just, you know, look back at the things that I find myself complaining about or getting frustrated about. You know, when the truth of the matter is, I've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, physical blessings more than a vast majority of the entire world. And so here in Acts chapter 28, we see a simple story. So just kind of setting those things in your mind there. And I think this is a story, maybe if we're reading the book of Acts, we're getting toward the end, maybe we skip over this. I think it's a really powerful teaching. And I want us to see some simple but yet powerful lessons in this short text here. So I do want to read again, but I do want to go to verse 6. So if you would, open your Bibles to Acts 28, 1 through 6, and let's think about this story here. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice," now that's a goddess that they worship, the goddess of justice, "does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." And so when you look at the text here, you find that Paul, of course, you got to go back here to chapter 27, traveling for a while. Remember, he's on his journey to make an appeal to Caesar. But the last couple weeks, he's been through a storm on the sea. You know, so much so, if you read the text, sailors believe, you know, this storm's going to kill us. We're dead. And so they make it for this island. They hit a reef. The ship tears apart. And now they safely make it to the shore, and, you know, the native people here, they treat them with great kindness. So, you know, just imagine it from their perspective, the natives. Right, this large sea-going ship hits the reef, breaks up, 276 people, the Bible tells us, swimming to the shore, floating on bits and pieces of the broken-up ship. And their kindness was great. It's raining, cold, they build them a fire. Paul's helping get that fire going. Right, just helping to get wood for the fire, and from his bundle of sticks, the viper, the snake, came out, bit Paul, hanging from his hand. Right, so we've got that imagery of all that's going on here. And so God had allowed Paul to go through a terrible sea journey. And now, after safely reaching the shore, this viper flies out and strikes his hand, dangling from his hand. You know, you want to talk about life not being fair? Right? You want to talk about no good deed going unpunished? Right? And insert your own cynical phrase here. And so these locals, they see what happened, right? And they got to be thinking, you know, no doubt this man is murdered, he escaped from the sea, and justice, wasn't going to allow him to live, right? So these people, and their God is called justice or fate, they got him, right? And so you got to think here, what's the point of this story, right? Paul, he's been through so much, and now he's just gathering wood for a fire. That's all he's doing. Right, to bring them the heat that they need, and a venomous snake bites them, right? You think enough already. Can't the guy catch a break? What's going on? Throwing your woe is me statement in here, what's happening? And our struggle is, why does God allow this, right? Why does God allow things like this to take place? I don't think we have anything in our Bible that's in there just because it's fun to read, or it's just filling up space in our Bibles. Everything that we're given in God's Word, it has meaning, it has purpose, and it has teaching value. So let's talk about number two here. We do have three main points. Number two, talk about our difficult times. So what is it that God wants you and I to take from this story? Right, let me share some thoughts with you that I believe are biblical. But first, understand and accept the fact that life is not easy and it's not fair. And, I wish it were, but it's just simply not fair. That's just the way it is. I wish I could go to everybody and tell them that everything's going to be okay when they're having difficulties. Everything in this life is going to be okay. I wish I could say that. But I can't. Why? Well, because there's a chance it might not be this side of eternity. Sometimes, yes, it gets worse before it gets better. Right? That's just the way it is in this fallen world. And I think what we do many times, the mistake we make as Christians, we might think or say, well, these bad things are happening to me. I must be doing something wrong. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe he isn't in control. When simply that's not the case. The fact of the matter is, what's happened is, life's not fair, and we were never promised that it was fair. Right? We were never in Scripture promised that life's going to be fair. But what we need to understand is, I think an important point is, this world's not our home. Right? When I can understand that, and live that out of my life, things are going to be a lot easier for me. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Listen to the psalmist here. Psalm 46. And he writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Now, don't get me wrong, for me, the vast majority of my life, it has been good. But when there are difficult times that come, sometimes, when you go through it, sometimes it seems like they're coming at you in waves, doesn't it? Right, just wave after wave, and it's just kind of pounding you, hitting and hitting, where you accept the trial, and you just work to overcome the trial, but then it seems to get worse and worse. And we want to say to God, okay, Lord, can the lesson be over now? Right, I've learned my lesson, can this trial be over? Have you, like Paul here, right, come through a wreck, if you will, whatever that wreck might be, sickness, financial crash, family, marriage problems, whatever that wreck is, and you kind of held on, and you literally feel like, you barely made it, paddling to the shore, and maybe you're beginning to feel like you see a little bit of daylight. You made it to shore, and now you're just, trying to keep the fire burning. Trying to add some fuel to the fire to heat it up again, maybe trying to get your prayer life going, your Bible study back going, you're gathering with the saints for worship, and you're doing what you can. You just have a desire for revival, right? To rekindle the fire, right? You're trying to build a fire of revival, but then all of a sudden, bam, a snake bite. And then you read in your Bible passages like James says, I count it all joy, or count it all joy when you face many kinds of trials. And you say, well, come on, James, let's just, get on to something else. And then maybe you flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you hear this passage, no temptation has taking you accept that which is common to man, and you're thinking to yourself, well, my problem is not common to man. It's an exceptional problem. Sorry, Paul, you're not having my problem. So you keep flipping around and, in your Bible, and you're looking for a passage that you can commiserate with you. Then you find Romans 8 and verse 18. And Paul wrote, I consider that all the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you're thinking, well, Paul, he just had no suffering then. I mean, really? I challenge you. If you want to know what suffering is, if you really want to know what suffering is, go through the life of Paul. Right, and tell me if this was a simple life. Right here, 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 24, this is Paul. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often in perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the Gentiles, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils on the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and toil, and sleeplessness often, and hunger, and thirst, and fastings often, and cold, and nakedness, and verse 28, besides the other things. We don't even really know what those other things are. You could go to chapter 12, verse 7, right? You could talk about his thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. And so what do we learn? Right? I believe what we're being taught here back in Acts 28 is that God is in every difficulty. Right? And if that plan included the snake bite, I got to try to figure out how. And looking back at the text here, and notice again the people's reaction to the snake bite. God also understands that some people don't think that God is with you. And Paul had to put up with these people, right? They see him get bit. It's a venomous snake, and they think that some god named Justice finally caught up with him. And now, we might think that idea died out with a greater understanding of the one true God that we save, but sadly, you know, we still struggle with that. That's where our minds tend to go again and again, right? Why is God doing this to me? I'm a good person. I go to church 3 times a week. Why is this happening to me? And so the view becomes my goodness should keep me from all the difficult times. And the belief continues that, you know, when God's happy with you, then he blesses you. Right? And when he's not, then he brings trials into your life. You know, and I feel for Paul, right? He gets bit by a snake. People, it doesn't seem, try to talk to him or help him. They simply, you know, they're thinking he had it coming. You know, and we start to then think, well, maybe my prayer life's not good enough. I guess I deserve this. I guess I'm not that good of a Christian because all this bad stuff is happening to me. Right? When that's not the point at all. Number three this evening, let's talk about using your situation as an opportunity to teach your great evangelism. But here's where, for me, becomes a point that I take from this passage here, because it's at that time, Paul, the Bible said, just shook the viper off or shook it off into the fire. And the response of the locals, of course, was that, you know, they went from thinking he's a murderer to all of a sudden, when he didn't die, that he's some kind of God. And so when I read this account, how do I personalize the text here? Right? When the worst things are happening to me in my life, people are watching me. And I assume they're watching you too in your life. People are watching you. So the question that happens is, you know, what do you do about the horrible, difficult things that are happening to you? How do you respond to that as a Christian? Right? How do you respond to those horrible things? Right now I've got option number one. I can whine and complain. I can blame others. I can do the pity party, woe is me approach. I can do that. And if you're like me, I've done that very well in the past. That's an option. But I got another option. I can do what Paul does here and just shake it off. You know, there comes a point when I just have to shake off some things, right? Which doesn't mean that it doesn't bother me or that that snake bite didn't hurt. It means that I'm going to live above them. And let me tell you that, you know, the anti-venom, if you will, of what God offers us is far greater than the evil which is trying to overwhelm us. You see, our God is greater, 1 John 4 and verse 4. And he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Right? And yes, there comes a time when some things, we just have to simply shake them off. And it doesn't mean that they're easy or they don't have consequences. It simply means that God is at work. Right, we're not going to let those things bring us down to Satan's level and live the victim life and have a victim mentality. Right, we should want a victor's life, not a victim's life. And that only comes when we abide in Him. 1 John 2 and verse 4. And the fact of the matter is, in Him I live and move and have my very being. Acts 17. And verse 28. So now if I have to, I'll live an absolute shipwrecked, snake-bitten life because I have real hope, right? And I have an eternity in heaven with no tears. I've got that to look forward to, Revelation 7 and verse 17. And in Him I can produce a harvest of righteousness. In Him I will not be destroyed by the cares of the world. You can add in there Matthew 6 and verse 34. I'm going to shake off that evil because I have God in my life. I am His workmanship. And I have to choose now, right now, what my response is going to be. You don't wait until the trial. You don't wait until the shipwreck or the snake bite to make that determination, right? I need to choose right now what my response will be, right? Because the rain, it's going to come. The wind, absolutely, it's going to blow, and I got to choose where I'm going to build my house, like Jesus, how he ends the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, beginning verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Right? So you got to make that decision now to listen to the words of Jesus, that, to have that foundation. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So I'm going to build my spiritual house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And I can have either experience. This is my choice. So option one, whine, complain, give up. Or option two, swim for shore, build a fire, and shake off any snake bites. And again, the world's watching us and what we choose. Now, I want you to think with me as we begin to wind down. Think historically for just a moment. You know, when was the greatest time of growth for the church? It wasn't the day of Pentecost, right? The church began that day. It wasn't when everyone's sitting around in Jerusalem. It wasn't when, everyone had favor one with another, and all the people, were loving what's happening here in Acts chapter 2, right? But the fastest time of growth for the Lord's church is when the persecution began, right? Like in Acts chapter 8, right? When the Christians began to be dispersed throughout Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? I don't know if you ever thought about that. Because we're talking about a shipwrecked, snake-bitten people. We're talking about people who were put to death by the sword, or crucified on a cross, or fed to the lions, or burned at the stake. And so think about why. And I think the only answer we can come back to again and again is the people around them, watching them go through that, they were watching how they handled that persecution. They're literally watching how they handled their death for their faith. Right? And so what they're going to do, the people watching them and the people watching us today, they're going to determine who God is based on that. Who is this Jesus they're willing to die for? Although they've been shipwrecked and snake bitten. So by way of conclusion here, let me ask you, where are you? Where's your faith? Right, when you go through a shipwreck, only to get snake bitten, right? How do you seek God at such moments, right? Think through whatever issues you're going through right now, or past issues, or you're mentally preparing yourself for future issues, because the rain's coming. Right, the floods are coming, the wind's coming. Right, maybe you're going through that right now. Remember your choices in this. How are you going to handle that? You going to complain? Maybe think God doesn't love you, he's not involved in your life. You know, I guess he loves everybody more than me, or something like that. That's an option. Or you can swim for the shore, build a fire, and shake off any snake bites. I want to actually end here, Matthew 7, because I got it on the screen here also, and think about this. It's not that the rain won't come. It's not that the winds won't blow. The question is, where will you build your house? Right? You have to decide right now. Do you have that understanding that God is good all the time? God is good. No matter what you face in this life, our God is good, and he's faithful even when we face the valley of the shadow of death. So how are you going to respond knowing that he is with you? And this evening, if you're here and you're subject to the gospel invitation, let's take care of that. Right? That's how you begin. You can't end well if you don't start right. Right? Let's get you going on that journey. And listen, don't make that decision thinking your life's going to get easier, because it's not. Right? Now, you can have a real joy being in Christ throughout those difficulties, but it's not going to get easier. So make sure you're ready to go the distance. And maybe you have obeyed the gospel and you thought you were prepared to go the distance, but then, you know, life happened and it kind of beat you down and you realize it separated you from Christ and you see a need to be reconciled. But if you have any spiritual need or just need prayers and encouragement, let somebody know, please, as we stand and sing.